Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Wali Ayub Bilal. The halal industry, do for self. I always like to begin with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We thank Allah once again to be here with those who would hear this today or any time in the future, taking the time to see if we have something to offer as well. We're speaking knowing that we don't have it all, but we need each other. And I'm calling first on those who understand the work. I'm calling on those of us that came through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, came through Imam Wafdeen Muhammad, Wallace D. Muhammad, for those who wasn't familiar with that. Coming through what our families have went through here in America, going all the way back to slavery. You know, Allah tells us to do something for yourself. Do for self. The first thing you have faith in, or the faith comes to you, is for yourself. You know, I have faith just like you and everybody, and today's discussion starts with what is the components of faith. It's not a subject I can say I got the whole answer. I know exactly what it is. Nobody else know. No, all of us. Everything we do, once we became Muslim particularly, we have to work together. Allah builds the creation for everything that's in it to benefit from it. Yet at the same time, we have to look at how do we go forward? How do we move? How do we grow with each other? I don't know of any human being that came into existence, life first. We're not in existence just because we're an adult and our name is known throughout the country or throughout the world as something we did. Our first beginning of existence, we needed a family. There's some people come up that their life was tragic. They were born and maybe the mother died. Some just have that problem. They were born, their mother died, their father was separated on his own most times, but a lot of times they died. So I'm saying a child can come up, and Allah has still made it so that child can come up normal, being tied to family life. So for me, when I look at what is the component of faith, I would say it's a major component of belief that Allah wants us to have, God wants us to have, the creator, for whatever you call it, the entity that put all us together. It's for us that, to have belief in that. Without belief, without faith, we don't get too much done. We'd be misused or whatever the case is. It's in everything. You know, the animals, the insects, fish, birds. None of us have to feed them. You got them in your house. You got them trapped in your house. And I don't mean trapped in a way to say stop keeping pets in the house. But if they're in your house, you may feed them. But other than that, everything that exists, Allah has given them the ability to find it, just like we can find what we need to exist. Once upon a time, man, he didn't know how to name things or say what's happening here or there. But in time, he grew to be what we call the crown of creation. The angels held that position once upon a time. But that crown of creation, holding that crown of creation, was the abilities that Allah gave to us, God has given to us. And I say it in both ways because I respect the fact that faith comes in all religions. There's some say, I don't believe in that one, I don't believe. If it existed, how are you going to say you don't believe in it? We can see a devil. And I ain't talking about the one that used to come on TV with the red clothes on and the goatee and mustache, waving a wand that was demonstrated to us by people who had the ability to bring about movies and stories that could be told over a screen or even in a book. But when we look at what happened to us as a people, every people, you come up, you watch the people around you. You don't know that's what you're doing. Child growing, none of us grow with the thought, well, I got to watch this one because, see, when I get up, I'm going to need it. It's just natural that God allows us to see every creature, man and otherwise, see in its own environment how we're to grow and do, almost mimic, follow the ways that someone else has. All that's about belief. That's about faith, even if we don't know the word. We find that as we get older, we can look back, and we can see how faith and belief increased in each of us. There's some people I've heard, some people say, I mean, I don't believe in nothing. Now, what do they mean by that? I wasn't going to get off track sitting around holding a conversation with them. I might say, okay, you don't, no big thing. I might have said a few things, different times. But no one can exist and don't believe. Sad that here we are in 2023, you got people who say they don't believe in God. Their every breath that they take is there to prove that it's one. It's not two. It's not three. So Some people have idols that look like a statue that they've made once upon a time, even in the land of the prophet, before he became the prophet. The people used to come to visit the Kaaba. And in their visit to the Kaaba, they brought their god with them, something that they made. And they left that and left a little wealth for the leaders there. But there's always been a picture for man, Adam being the first. There's been a picture for man that there's a creator that put all this together. And he don't compel us to accept some. He let us come into belief and understanding through our own time. And think about this. There, once upon a time, there was no books. So people didn't learn, like, you know, here we could say, go 10 blocks and turn right, and it'll be such and such there. Once upon a time, that didn't exist. It didn't exist where they can write on paper, whatever the case may be. But all of the belief systems that we can look back on in 2023 tells us there's a God. There's no question about that. When we look at when we see things grow, things for us to eat, things for us to utilize to build things with, planes today, cars, trains, and everything else today. These things exist, but they always was in creation for man to draw from, but it just wasn't time. Wasn't time. You know what I mean? It wasn't time for us to see things as man in general. All we need to know is that in our time, or admit at least, we can feel the great growth of faith, of belief in the time we exist. For me personally, mine started with my father. I watched what he did, and I grew in faith that if nothing else, something could be done. I didn't know I was going to one day, as a little guy, need to drive a car. But my lessons came from my father. No, he didn't put me on his knees and let me hold the steering wheel. I was too small to do that. He cautioned me. You know what I'm saying? My feet couldn't touch the brake or the gas. He never left it running, as far as I can remember, with me sitting in there anyway. He never put me in the driver's seat until I got to the point where I got of age to get in the driver's seat. And I washed the car before I got a permit. But he still didn't tell me to get in the driver's seat. I'm going to show you how to drive. He just drove. And I had faith just watching him and watching why he moved. If he moved a certain way, turning, whatever the case was, I looked out the window. And most of the time that I'm talking about, I couldn't see much over the dashboard. But though I didn't even know the word belief or trust, faith was working. And that's for all of us. The knowledge comes to us. And that knowledge comes to everybody, to every human and every creature. And we know animals don't talk like we talk, but they naturally have something built in. Excuse me. They naturally have something built in their system like we do, that they learn from their senses, just like we learn from ours. And some of us, we can admit, some of us look like we ain't had no good senses since we've been here. Now, then you run into somebody like that. So a component for me of faith tells me that this is where God wants us to go, to believe, and we should believe in him first. No question. Our greatest belief. Because what the greatest belief tells you is, like I like to say, and I'm not telling anybody to follow me, I think it makes common sense. I asked God, and asked him ever since I was a little boy, to live to be 150. I may not see it, but I got faith if he wants to answer my prayer, I'll see it. I don't have no doubt about it, and I don't have no doubt in Allah if he were to take me right now. Do I want to go right now? No. But I also say in my prayers, oh, Lord, let me not be one that resists. Act like I don't want to follow what you guiding me to. You know best for everyone. And I'm saying this for a reason. We were brought here to be slaves. And we read the Quran. Allah says, mercy to humanity. And the mercy to humanity that we see in the Quran is the Quran, the prophet or prophets, and people who live their example of good and others pick up the good example from them. When you look at the so-called American Negro, African-American descendant of slaves, nobody in the world as a people, I'm not talking about individuals or groups, small groups, I'm talking about as a people, there's no people on earth that we know of that wants to respect us as a whole of knowing something than rather look down on us because we were slaves. Allah knows best. We were made servants, allowed to be made servants for man. And we did a pretty good job here in America. When I say we, of course, I'm including myself with forefathers. We did a pretty good job. And it helped people to look down on us to think that we're no better than anything but a slave. And today we wake up understanding to be a slave of God, a servant of God. Our nature, our character, not all of us, but as a majority today, image properly, we become the model for humanity. We're already a model. There's not another people that I see that forgives as quickly as we do, especially when you think about all that happened to us. There's enough reason for us to hate for easily another 100, 200 years. That's right, easily. But most of us, we won't do that. Allah has blessed us with something. The slavery wasn't white man slavery, meaning he didn't set it up. Allah set this up. As I've said many times, and I like to keep saying it, if you want to make a slave out of someone, all you got to do is take them from their natural habitat. Make it so they can't get in or out of anything else. Can't get into another room without you putting it there, without you opening the door, opening the window. They can't get food without you putting it in the area for them to eat and drink. It's easy to make that kind of put the threat on their life that they can't get nowhere. All the slaves wasn't afraid to leave. They just didn't know where to go if they left. You know, the slave master had a way of putting a little fear in blacks. They may take the biggest one. The biggest one ain't always the one that can rumble. But they may take the biggest one because it gives the appearance to a little person if he could rumble. Man, I know that big guy could rumble. I'd terrify myself, small as I am. So what they would do sometimes, psychology, blow the big one's head off with a rifle, a shotgun, pistol, cut them up, whatever the case may be. And it's history books. You know, the guy down in Florida don't want people to tell their story. But there are history books where the children and the family all went to a hanging, a black man's hanging, made them watch it. What's that game that they play golf? That's supposed to be subject to our head being on the ground and being hit or kicked? Something like that, you know what I mean? So, but we can look at it, and probably some of us that get angry about it. I ain't wasting time myself to get angry at none of it, and I ain't looking to get no revenge. But I look at what Allah says, what God says to us. He approves models. Muhammad the Prophet is a model. And that model actually is called also the mercy to humanity. Our job is also models, models of belief, models of faith that can help others We're talking about ourselves first. Save yourself, Allah says. That means me, Wali, save you. In saving myself next, it means my family. My mother, my father, my brothers, my sisters, my children, my cousins, my wife, et cetera, et cetera. Not in that order like I'm saying. But it's telling you to save your own. And then when you get through with that family, you got a family that look like you, that suffers something just because they look like you. Your skin is dark. You can't hide. Even if you put white paint on you, they know there's paint. So that may get away because they have real fair skin. But over these years, just your skin was a giveaway. And today, your skin is a giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
But this is Allah's plan. This is God's plan. I'm saying to us, we have a nature, a character of forgiving better and greater than any whole people on earth right now, at least the ones we know of. There's probably some good people that feel like we feel, stuck in a hole somewhere in some of these different lands, that their people don't treat them right. But nonetheless, the picture is, why would God do this to us? And I don't mean questioning like, why you do this to me, God? I don't mean it like that. There's a picture. I mean, I feel real good when I look at the picture of us one day being the mercy to humanity.
Mm-hmm.
The example to all of humanity of how to build life in a way that it becomes a model. It'd be something that God bless. It doesn't make a difference what title is on the religion, because he says go off as in a race. That means all of us are supposed to be reminders of each other. But at the same time, he said model humanity, a model, and that man starts off for us as the prophet. Prayers and peace be upon him. But the mercy to humanity becomes people in general. And for us, like I say, that's one of the roles that sits there for us. And do you have to sign up with a law, you know, where I sign that paperwork to be it? Be it. Just be it. We got to be a people that bring back what we know works for us. And unity works for us. Loving and caring for each other works for us. You know, the brothers from overseas, they would come over and tell us, like, we ain't reading the Quran ourselves because it ain't in Arabic. I mean, we don't read Arabic. But Allah has given the Quran in our language. Tell some of our people. And I have to say these things because we need to wake up. But then tell some of our people, your mother's a Kafir. And not the African word Kafir, black, but Kafir, disbeliever. And Allah tells us in the Quran, don't call people disbelievers. You don't know. You can't see in their heart. He knows. And he won't miss judgment of anyone. We can miss, me included. If we start judging, we can misjudge everyone, or too many anyway. But they tell them to call a Kafir. Call your mother Kafir. How is the book saying that Allah says, don't even say, telling you to call her a Kafir? Saying in the Quran, Allah says, lower your wing of humility to them, to your parents. Let it be said by his messenger, his example, our prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, Muhammad, when the question was asked, who should you love? Your mother. Who should you love? Your mother. Who should you love? Your mother. And on the fourth time, who should you love? Your father. Respect go to the father, but the question was about your mother. The person who asked, who should you love? It said mother. Who should you love, your mother, your father first, or your brother and sister? That wasn't the question. Who should you love? And the prophet began to answer. So we have to see that the examples are most important. There are people that still want to lead when they need to sit down. messed up all these years. So Allah says, he made it clear, I'll give it to another people. And they'll handle it different from you. Allah knows best. So you and I will have to have faith to say that, yes, I believe Allah will give us this opportunity to be an example to the people. And as I've said, I've seen people, many of us have seen people, who feel like they have a right to tell us we don't belong here. They have a right to say that we're not worthy. We can't be the man. We can't be the woman. No, we have to change that. We have to change the attitude of humanity. But we have to see it ourselves. Do I have faith? That's what I'm asking everybody today. Ask yourself. I ain't asking you. You ain't got an answer to me. I look at myself. I got faith. And it ain't crisscross. I got faith that Allah wants us to be an example, this African-American descendant of the slave. And I like to say it that way because, like I've made comment many times, our brothers from Africa and sisters from Africa, when they come here and have a child, that child, they may be African, and they can name where they're from. But if they come here in America and have a child, I ain't talking about where they impregnated it. Where they had that child, where that child was delivered. That child was delivered here in America in any one of the cities, in the rural section, or not. That child is American, born American, born on the soil. Now, maybe somebody can argue if the person was just taking a trip here to visit their family, as soon as the baby was born, they went back. Maybe that'd be something good. But when we see how many families from Africa having children that are born here, raised here, those are African Americans. So I like to add on the end of it, descendant of slaves. We're different than anybody that lives in America. Not special different. We're human like everybody else. But our identity is different. I can't say what part of or whatever was named before the name was called Africa that my foreparents came from. I know they came from over there, but I can't say where, what part of it, and I don't need to. I got enough generations over me to know that I'm an American, but I am a descendant of the slaves. So again, Allah says to us, save yourself. Save yourself from fire and save yourself, not just the fire of hell. He's talking about the fire of this world that we live in. Stand up. Be a pitcher. It will wake people up from thinking that they're the prize for our eyes. Not God said it. They said it. Now, if they say that the Quran says, I sent some messages back when people sent me texts. A lot of people like to send texts, and I'm all right with it. I read it. It will say, you know, Allah will punish you for sins. What, they forgot to read the part that he forgives?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In other words, and some brothers would ask me, well, brother, man, you don't like to just say what people say. No, my nature tells me that if God, and my father was warm and tender to me, and he had tore my butt up too when I was out of the way. You know what I mean? I'm causing a problem. And I, like I said, I had to tell my father one day. I was 13 years old. I told my brothers and sisters first, two older me and was one sister under me and one brother under me. I said, look, I'm going to let Dad know I ain't crying no more. They said, boy, Dad going to kill you. Yeah. I said, no, I'm letting, no, I ain't crying no more. I said, he don't beat me because he want to beat me. He beat me because I'm doing something I ain't supposed to be doing. So my father told me, who coming for who? You know, he getting ready to get us, and we're in the lineup. One of us got to walk over, and then the rest would get there after that. And I walked over to him, and I'm standing there, and he's looking at me and wondering why I'm just looking straight up. I ain't got my hands in position to block nothing. He said, what's wrong with you, boy? I said, Dad, I ain't crying no more. He said, you ain't crying no more. What you mean? I said, when you beat me. I said, I know you don't want to beat me. I know you don't. I'm going to stop doing things to get a beat. And he hit me a couple times with the belt across my legs, and I just kind of like moved my leg a little bit, but just stood there and kept looking up, didn't cry. He said, boy, you got on two pair of pants. I said, yes, Dad, I got on two pair of pants. He said, get out of here. That was the last beating I ever got.
That's your tactic.
Yeah. In other words, when you, all of us got to come to grips. I ain't telling nobody nothing new. A youngster might not know, but if you were some age, you know that you didn't get a beating from your mother, your father, in most cases, except for the fact that it looked like you did something. Some mothers, some fathers give you a beating, and you didn't do it, and they ain't taking the time out to find out because you look like you did it. So they got to feel the honesty. For us, many of us, we don't beat our children as much. Some do, but as a majority, I don't think we give out as many beatings a day as those who go back in that time would see that we got. And part of it was our mothers were scared to death. She going to look and see us hanging on the tree because somebody thought we was a smart mouth N-word to be that back then. You can just have a Caucasian tell a lie on it. Just say you did something, and you can hang. Emmett Till, our brother, how ugly that was. And then the lady say 20 years later she lied. And she ain't get no time yet for just even causing death. And I don't think nobody should do anything to her. I think at this point, maybe the best thing is let a law deal with it.
She's suffering.
She caused this man to, and all of us, we know Emmett Till's story, and if we don't know it, they got movies and books about it.
They've been writing about it for a while.
And it was an honorable thing the mother did. He said, I want them to be displayed so everybody can see what you did to my son. Okay, what was she? She was a model. She was an example. She was a mercy to humanity because there was a change, even though it wasn't an obvious change with the haters from among the Caucasians. But there was a change in spirit when that came out like that. So everything we do have an effect. But we have to have faith. We have to have belief that God wants us to see some, especially since we're people of faith. I mean, I'm talking now when I say people of faith, I'm saying everybody that say they believe in God, whether they're Christian, whether they're Muslim, whether they're Jewish, everybody that say they believe in God, the Creator, Allah, and the many names because of language. I keep saying one day I'm going to bring my list with me and run over some of those names that we might hear somebody saying that means the same thing in their language. But if they're talking about that one entity that created everything, they're talking about God. That's what we have to know. That's what we have to believe. Let us take a PSA.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
I didn't know. Assalamu alaikum, AM 360. Nate Muhammad. I'd like to read from the Quran, 4:33, ayat 9-13. O you who believe, remember the grace of Allah bestowed on you when they came down on you, hostess, to overwhelm to overwhelm you, but he sent against them a hurricane and forces that you saw not. But Allah sees clearly all that you do. Behold, they came on you from above, from above you and from below you. And behold, the eyes became dim in the heart, and the heart great up to their throat. And you imagine various vain thoughts about Allah. And behold, the hypocrite and those whose hearts is there a diseased, even say, Allah and his messenger promise us nothing but delusions. Behold, a party among them said, you men of, what's that, Yathrib. You cannot stand the attack. Therefore, go back and a band of them ask for leave of the prophet, saying, truly, our house are bare and exposed. So they was not exposed. They intended nothing but to run away. Surely Allah speaks the truth.
Yes, sir. Yes, Imam Wali Ayu Bilal, once again, the halal industry, do for self. So I want to continue where Madam's speaking about components, faith. You may have many more than I'm saying, but that's what we need to look at to see where we should be at as a people. Allah has put things before us, and we have faith in it. And if Allah says that he helps the believer, we don't have to look for anyone to define that for us. Everybody feel like they need to teach us. No, I speak English. I don't speak Arabic well. I used to teach Arabic, but I found it was hard, even in teaching it, to get somebody to stay on the study and communicate back. And when I taught it back then, I taught, just the language. I wasn't just reading the Quran and reading ayats. Me and a brother, I was away then, serving a little time, and I would pass to the guard a note in Arabic, and he'd read it and write me back. And we our conversations were more relative to the outside of the prison, but nonetheless, he was the only individual in years that actually could communicate with me. I even learned something from that. That yes, we can study it, but we need to actually have that taught to our children in school. So when they come up knowing the language. They can go into places where other people are speaking the language as their natural language, and they can talk if that's what they need to do to them, as well as hear if something was being said to them. I always felt even as a youngster, I didn't want to be standing somewhere in a building, on an elevator, wherever, somebody talking, and they're speaking in the language, but I can't understand what they're talking about, and I'm the meal on a plate, so to speak. So I feel that then, and I feel now, our schools should take at least 5-6 languages and let them be a part of the education system in our schools. We can't tell them what to do in the public school, but in our schools, make it so by the sixth grade they're speaking fluently 5-6 languages as a majority. Maybe some students don't do it. There might be some that are excel and will do 10 languages. But we have to begin to build our own to actually get into a confidence, as I'm speaking here, to understand the components of faith. They're natural. The more we build upon, the more natural it is. Our belief with the halal industry, we believe we can create billions of dollars of wealth among ourselves. even if no other people, but all other people were to say, we're not supporting those darkies or this or that or whatever, we can create it. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, for us, the Nation of Islam, was proof that we can do business ourselves, decent business. We had doctors. We had educators. Doctors of all types. We still got them. But we need to open up hospitals. We need to open up medical centers. And we need to have the kind of flow in money, if I can use that term, that we can guarantee our own insurance for people, cover people who don't have insurance. I forget the brother's name right now, but he invented something, and when it came his time, he was suffering from that same illness, and they wouldn't let him back in the hospital. His name probably will come to me before it's all over, but right now, it's not in my head. It had something to do with the blood. You know what I mean? But they wouldn't allow him in the hospital, even though there was a new method being used by the hospitals because of him. Our interest has to be not a hateful interest that we're doing things, but one that is given to us from God himself, from Allah himself, from the Creator, however you like to say it. And when we look at it, we can build. What is it that we can't build? We make everybody in America rich. I'm talking about our people.
Right.
We make everybody rich.
We worship the workers.
Yeah. So why we can't do it for ourselves? Our faith is lost when we come to ourselves. This is why I use this type of topic today. What is the components of faith? Everything we've ever done has been based on faith. We wasn't jumping off roofs. I'm going to see how much faith can... Do you believe you can jump and land and not be hurt? No, we weren't talking about that kind of stuff. But just to live, faith is in every step. If I get up right now to go get something, I got faith there's something to eat. I haven't looked in the refrigerator today, but I got faith something's in there to eat. I got faith that something's in the cupboards or wherever where we normally put our food. There's nothing we do that we do without faith. We may not call it faith or belief, but if we go somewhere, very seldom are we surprised. Every now and then you might go to a store and find them closed. You're surprised. But faith told you it was open. You can go it on down. In some cases you have to say, oh, man, I forgot today was Sunday. Or I forgot it was such and such a day. Oh, man, it's that late. I didn't know. But faith told you you was in time. Allah don't let us live in any way without faith. Everything is there for us. He wants his servant to succeed in everything he do. And the check for success is faith and belief, starting with faith and belief in him. That Allah's not going to hurt us. God is not going to hurt us. We could do something foolish and hurt ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But if God tells us to be good, to pray, even just to pray, we got to have faith that prayer works. And if it works, all of us are praying to the same God, regardless of the name we use. It ain't but one. It ain't but one. Ain't no father, mother, son, daughter. God is one. If you got a name with a birthday, it can't be God.
Can't be, yeah.
You know what I mean? So Muhammad the Prophet prays and peace be upon him. I've never heard a Muslim say, but if somebody did, that he's a God, then no, he can't be God. And Allah makes it clear. But faith is so intertwined with everything we do. The baby jumps up and walks for the very first time or stand for the very first time. Faith kicked in. Belief kicked in that child. When it starts uttering a few words, faith, and you can see the joy in the child's face. That's a infant still.
They love it.
But they love it. That's right. They got their first show of faith working for them. They get a show and they cry out, mom is coming. Well, they don't even know how to say mom. But But if they cry out, that human God, so to speak, who nourishes him or her as a baby, that individual knows the cry. Baby got faith. My diaper is messed up. Let me call. Let me cry out. I'm hungry. Let me cry out. You know what I mean? Whatever it is, I'm hurt. Let me cry out. And the mother, some fathers, but the mother know each time, with each call, that child is working in his mind saying, she don't miss. He ain't using those words. But I called for my diaper. I got a problem in my diaper. She came straight there. She knew I needed her. Yeah. She know I'm hungry. I ain't eat yet. That's right. He can't even say it, but he know when he make this sound, she know it's time for that boy to eat, that girl to eat.
Yeah, that's right.
Or if they hurt, let me run in here. He found out he ain't out of the crib, is he? You know what I mean? The mother feels it just from the cry of the baby. And that's the faith that the baby begins to be built on and also faith that the mother's at. All this work together, Allah put this in as a key component. You get hurt. You get sick. You got faith you're going to do better if you try a few things. Your arm broke, put a cast on it. Very few people have ever walked away and said once their body broke up, no, don't put nothing on me. No, give me what I need, Doc. Do you take this medicine? You alert? I don't know what I am, but give me something. You got faith that this is going to take, first it's going to take away this pain. Then it's going to heal me. It's going to help me. Everything. You don't have anything that exists. There's no reason for us, humanity, to not appeal to and believe in God, have faith in God. And there's no room. Allah says, don't call their God names because they can't hear you. But they'll turn around and call your God, me, a name, and I hear every bit of it. I mean, that sounds like maybe an elementary thing, but everybody don't know that. I mean, yeah, you talking about my God, I'm going to talk about his God. Ain't but one God. And God is not saying the one that's talking against your God, who is Allah, who's God, who's the creator, is hurt by it. That's not what he's saying. He's telling us don't bring humanity into doing the wrong thing. Be an example of the right. None of us, all of us together can't hurt God. The whole creation to fall apart can't hurt God. But God don't want us to be an example of something negative that will cause his servant to go negative and wind up even in the fire that he created for the human that doesn't listen. Our faith. So I'm appealing to us also to save ourselves by identifying ourselves as workers to help establish a model community. I've mentioned it a few times. I've sent a few pieces of paperwork. I haven't gotten any response. I get one brother that responds regularly, and I can count on them. I know that. I know that we need, and I'm going to say it here again, we need people that are of community-wide shore conference. We need them to be, as they are, think tank, but we want them to handle something. We want them to set up for us a meeting in July. Pick the date. They'll discuss it, but pick the date. Set up a Zoom that could go cross-country.
Mm-hmm.
That everybody can come in at their leisure in their homes at the same time of day, a comfortable day where it's not too late for some or too early for others. And if we can find a way to get it closer to midday for all except for on a work day, and even with that, get it where it's set up that you can go back to it, you can pull it up. For those who, you know, just work all the time. But we need to appeal to our people who can see the need of a model community, and they are themselves willing to be a participant as a speaker. The involved leadership as a collective to establish what's needed for a model community. We want to talk in this Zoom. This is not necessarily, it can be, but it's not necessarily the appeal for all the people. We want to talk because we want to gather the people together that have certain roles to play, discussing, having this as a discussion with the people who would come to a larger convention that begins the actual operation of establishing the model community. We need to talk about it first. We need educators. We need imams. We need builders. We need architects. We need engineers. Almost everything you can think of, we need. Our brothers with the credit union, Raceline, we need them. Because we need to know if we're building a model community, we ain't going to build it without it making our own bank or credit union or something to that effect, that we can put money in to have a wealth nest for ourselves, but also that we can establish loans and everything. Don't take all our activity. We need teachers because we're going to have to establish educational centers. We need doctors because we got to have medical clinics and hospitals. We're talking about building a model community and can't nobody get sick because we ain't got a hospital? No, what does it look like? And then even the discussion on if there's a hospital through this joint effort, who and how do we pick out the leadership if you got five doctors who have the same exact credits or label that makes them senior? Well, we have to do that like we do everything. But we need that to be spoke of to the people as a majority. But initially, we need to get together to make sure that we understand what we can put together to point out what a model community looks like if we work together. I still like us to have a Zoom that does that in July sometime. And I'm appealing again. I'm reaching out through texts and phone calls here and there, and I can say that I haven't gotten a response like I would like, that we can get the help. You know what I mean? And we need to know. If we're not, then we need to shop in the next tier, so to speak. But we want to see ourselves built. I have faith that we can do it. We can create little townships, little cities, until we're ready to get the big one. We have to see those of us that are in politics, because that's necessary to also do that. People who know land, so we can discover whether or not the land is safe to build on or grow crop on or whatever the case may be. We need realtors to tell us where to purchase, how to purchase, et cetera, to get the best for what we're trying to do. We all might find ourselves moving to do this out of the city we live in. Don't mean you have to move complete, but the work may be in a city. I'm in Philadelphia. I'm in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We don't have to start here just because I'm bringing the thought up. No, we do Shura. When you do Shura, you don't lose, because you're looking at everybody involved. Put in what you can put in as information that's necessary, and then collectively, if we trust Allah, we come forth with best overall. What is the best thing for us to do, the best move for us to make to do this? Who got the best idea? That's right. And we need to be preparing this body in July, so therefore we can pick sometime this year or early 24, pick a place that we'll do a convention, a weekend maybe. Might need a week. But either way, we'll do a convention to bring the people and the public in from all over, all the places we can bring them in. People not able to travel, they should be able to see that also on Zoom or wherever. But we want a big gathering. We want noise, so to speak, activity. to say to the people, this is what we want to build. This is how we must start. Have the start all the way to the finish, lined out. Someone got up, group, not one, spearheading a certain section. Get up and speak on it. If it's architects, we got a group of architects. Just one of them have to be the spokesperson for that group, but we want all of them to speak. We want the people to feel, hey, man, Allah is blessing us to get something done. Do you know Allah has never taken his blessing from us to get something done? We just haven't done it. Allah says in the Quran, when the victory comes, tell me what man he's talking to. He's talking to all of us, every human being, male, female, young and old. When the victory comes, stay humble and stay in prayer. We're out of slavery. But what was we supposed to get out of slavery? Not what man want us to get, what God want us to get. Become the example. After all that has done, and we have to say, I don't know of any book reading or any thought from anybody else saying that anybody is more forgiven than this African-American who's a descendant of a slave. Based on what, and I tell people, if I was living in the slavery time and had the character I got now, they'd kill me. Because ain't no way in the world 300 to 1,500 of us going to be working on the field and you got about 15, 30 people sitting on a horse with a gun. And my voice ain't going to say, here's a plan, let's kill them. They'd get rid of me. They'd have to. We might not have got a chance to see what slavery looked like. You know what I mean? It's just, but it was a plan that Allah had, so we had to go through that.
Right.
My time is now to be with those of us that's here, that we become the model for humanity, a model of human to humanity or the mercy to humanity. That is a model. And what makes people models? One is that they're doing something better than the rest.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, people will be shamed that this slave, once upon a slave for man, is showing more character than we are, and we're leaders, and we're kings and queens and sheikhs and this and that. You know what I mean? Yeah, all that. But some people think that you're supposed to be this slave, this Negro slave, you're supposed to be really waiting to bow at everybody's feet.
That's right.
It always was three-fifths of a man. That's right. Nate reminded me of the title, three-fifths of a man. What else was we?
Mm-hmm.
Slave. But they wouldn't let us slave like we should, which would have been the slave of Allah. So here we are today. We're where we at? With full opportunity to build a society anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world. And become an example. And we're going to have our security. Anybody going to run? You know, that Nation of Islam of ours. And I thank Allah I was one of them. And I was one of the persons that brought about, I would say, peace and order.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and it was known. The police in Philadelphia used to say to the people who whined with their butt whip, we all at the police station. You talking about them brothers? The Muslims? Brothers, y'all go eat. I'll lock you up first, man. Hey, I'm the one that got beat up. The Muslims don't touch nobody unless you did something to them. That's what the police officers were saying. And we even in Philly, like I told some of the stories, a few times there were some of us had to touch up the police officers. And they had to go there trying to find our brothers guilty. They had to drop the case because we made them feel uncomfortable in the courtroom. And think about this here. We didn't carry guns. We did not carry guns. Early Muslims were told by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, carry a card, a literal card, like you're giving your card out to somebody. And the card was telling the police officers, if you ever stop this man, if he's breaking the law, don't lie on him. It didn't have that part on it. But if he's breaking the law, tear his car up and take him to jail. So that was like the Bible saying, make them pay the farmost penny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was working from the Bible. So it was easy to understand. So we got a job to do. We got to talk to our young about these guns, these killings, these shootings. I looked on the news this morning, first time I seen that the little young brother that got shot, 11 years old, got shot in the chest, called the police to come there. I was very surprised to find that the police officer was African-American. How did he miss that little boy or mistake that little boy to be a man? He thought he was a midget. 11 years old. Yeah, we have reason to protest, but our biggest protest should be based in our service to God, to come together, work as one, building trust and love with each other. Getting the guns, we don't need the guns. You know what I mean? In other words, those of us that want to carry them, fine. But don't carry them illegally. Those of us got guns in our house, make sure your children don't get to them. I don't have guns. Brother was playing with me, clowning around, came up behind me one day and stuck his hand in, just last week, stuck his hand in my back like he had a pistol. And I didn't turn around. I continued to talk. I didn't know who it was, but I just continued to talk. And I reached back with my right hand and just grabbed his hand. And as I was talking to the brothers, I said, now, this is how I used to take people's guns back in the day. Don't never get that close to me. So my point is, we don't have no reason to fear, and we don't have no reason to act like other people act. Something can get us in trouble quicker than to get anybody else in trouble. There's still this unfair thing with the courts. All of them? No. But we don't need to be in that. You know what I mean? There's unfairness with police officers. All of them? No. I got two blood brothers that retired from the police force, did 20-something years each. I got a stepbrother and two brother-in-laws. So it was always good for me to know that I had police officers in the family. And I tell police officers, you watch your back. You know you're a moving target. So I wasn't telling him to just be safe. I was telling him don't be stupid acting up in the neighborhood. Because everybody see that police car, that shirt, that hat from a distance. You know what I mean? And sometimes I go a little further. And anybody with a decent aim will pick you off a block away with a rifle. Yeah, brother, I'm a watch. I'm going to be careful. The key is to remind them, treat your people right.
Yeah,
you know, because if a police officer come in our community and do the wrong thing, he can't stay in the community. We got to take him through the task of court or his superiors or something to get him out of the neighborhood. The Muslim community don't have to be policed like that. We police our own. And again, I'm saying we did it. We did it so well in the Nation of Islam. Respect was given when they didn't even want to give it. People wanted to say negative things, but they couldn't do it. Because our character was a plus. Now with our character, we need to build. We need to build the model community. We need to build wealth by showing our people we can make it just spending with ourselves. Again, every people that come in our community, across the country, we make them wealthy. Well, we can have our same brother or sister sitting not too far away selling almost the same thing, we'll walk past that. Is that all of us? No. I'm talking to those of us that are awake, so let's wake up the rest. Let's get people back in line. Let's show ourselves and others that it's easy to do what we're doing. We just need to get back into doing it. Let us take another break.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Preacher Hadi, Director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month, 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation, so please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. As-salamu alaykum.
Join us every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an edition of the Halal Industry. Do for Sex with your host, Imam Wali Ayub Bilal, President, Founder, and CEO of Bilal's Inc., and co-hosts James Bashir and Nate Muhammad. The interest of Bilal's Inc. is to establish economics for the African-American people, defenders of slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength to establish community life by doing for self, to build the model community. Connect at am360.org and 24-hour stream at 701-719-4197. Call in live to speak to the host at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Share comments at info@cwsc.us. Tweet at CWSHURAA. Email us at info@cwsc.us. Visit am360.org, Parent Corporation Community Wide Shore Conference at CWSC.us, or leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297. Thank you.
Peace be with you and welcome into Positive Solutions to Critical Issues, hosted by yours truly, Dr. Jamal Rashid and Instructor Henry Hasid. This program is sociologically as well as psychologically inclined, with Fitzer as its base. We examine the root seed to multiple effects that impact our holistic daily lives. So tune in each and every Thursday morning from 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. Thank you and have a pleasant day.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Wali Ayub Bilal, the Halal Industry, Do For Self. Once again, continuing with today's discussion, what is the components of faith? And as I said, major one is belief. I have, and when I say I now, I'm meaning this for the believer. I'm speaking right now on behalf of the believer. I have faith in Allah. For those who don't use the term Allah, Allah is two words, the God. I have faith in the God, the Creator. We're talking about the same. Our brothers, our family members, they have to know that. Some of them are afraid. God is bigger than all of us. Good conduct is a tool to win the best from Allah. From God, from the Creator. We're one working for the best. I'm not saying the best meaning now I'm giving God another name. He's beyond just being the best. All of the things that we need to do, we have to begin to put them in motion, but you can't put them in motion if you don't think about it. Many of us can walk where we go, but we count on the car that we parked to be in the space when we go back out tomorrow or tonight to be there so we can drive where we got to go. We got faith in the car. We got faith in the neighborhood that it's going to be there. We even got faith that if somebody touches it, the alarm may go off and give us a signal. Those are just machines. We have to build back the faith in each other. The model community consists of a lot of things. We have to have a way to bring wealth in. We need businesses. We need people who have businesses. The halal industry, for instance. The purpose of the halal industry My prayers are that he permit us to be successful with that. We pray that once we get certain things straight here in Philadelphia, that the people are holding us back. The city is not the whole city when I say city. There's a lawyer, at least here, there's a component of the city. That I believe this lawyer, might be a few of them, wants to work for a developer by giving them properties through share sale or easy sale or blockage or whatever, so that they, other people, can make the wealth that's necessary to build a community. Part of it they call gentrification. Gentrification itself doesn't destroy you unless you don't know it's happening to you. Anybody that's in a community, in a neighborhood, if you clean up and, you know, prepare to protect and beautify your community, that's gentrification. Gentrification is not white, black, brown, yellow. It's improving your community. They've done it before many of our people caught on and before you know anything, and today is affecting a lot of Caucasians too throughout the city of Philadelphia. But they've done it in an area where they can build and close the door on those poor people who were, and when I say poor now, I'm talking about no wealth. And not poor like, oh, those poor people. I don't mean it like that. No wealth. They closed in on them. Early years, they found here in Philly, a number of people received $100,000, a couple hundred thousand. They found out shortly later they ain't had nothing. That money went so fast. Now they got to worry about where they're going to live because everything you buy now is up there in the $200,000. And to me, that's not a lot of money, but that's money that they can't get because they went, sold their place cheap, so to speak, and now they don't have enough money to buy another one. So that means they got to get a better job, maybe, or two jobs to live future as they're getting older. They've been blocked out of it. I believe that there's others that think like I think, and I'm talking about that I don't even know. The goal with the halal industry, Bilal's Inc., the halal industry, also known as Beefy, is to build on the processing plant that we want to establish. That processing plant, we believe, Allah willing, we establish it from the ground up like we like to. And on the second floor of this building, in the rear section, which is approximately 75% of the building, on this second floor will be processing of beef. Same amount of space on the third floor will be processing goat and lamb. Same on the fourth floor will be poultry, chicken, turkey, things of that nature in that family. But the main goal is to start off first with the beef. On the second floor, and do 1 million pounds of beef products. We plan to have that where we're set, where we're doing 1 million pounds of beef, a minimum 1 million pounds. We're going to build to that each week. That 1 million pounds translates into $1 million per week profit. Going to make more than that. Has to pay all the other bills, pay for the products, new products, establishing the things that's necessary in the building, machinery, et cetera, et cetera. But $1 million off of that, done right, would be for profit. In the first place, we want to spend part of that profit. We want to put it in 5 categories. The first category is we want those who we call special investors, those who would help when that time comes, those who are already in business might need some help, boost up their stock or beautify their place or whatever, they need a loan. We want to spend 20% of that first million helping our neighborhood open businesses from our people. Caucasian asked me, even Hispanic one time, said, no one else can invest? I said, yeah, you can invest. Will we get the same thing? Yes. The only difference is You have to build with your people, not with our people. A lot of us, we don't think we could tell people that. What they're going to take from you, they ain't getting you nothing anyway. We build them for ourselves. It's clear. We're not saying we're excluding all people. That's not what we're doing. We don't want nothing criminal. We've been that rude. We don't want nothing criminal. But when it comes to our neighborhood, we need our neighborhood that everywhere we turn, the businesses are our people. So the people won't be trying to push their own people out of the neighborhood. Also, the profits that are made will help build more communities. So we need people who want to go in business or are in business that need help. We would like to help them. The second 20% would be for Beefy, the halal industry itself, establishing things that will bring more wealth. Let me give you one picture right away. When I slaughtered in 95, when I first started slaughtering, I would slaughter 10 head of cattle, all weighing, you know, near 2,000 pounds, et cetera, et cetera. So when I slaughter those animals, I'd slaughter about 10. And I'd take 200 to 300 pounds off of each animal. And that amount I would take to the processing plant that wasn't owned by me. It was owned by other people also, and have the products done, whether I'm doing bacon, whether I'm doing steaks, whether I'm doing ground meat, whether I'm doing burgers, hot dogs, hot sausages, breakfast sausages, whatever the case may be, corned beef, roast beef. I would take that and get that done at the processing plant. I didn't own one then. Today we're hoping to have ours open. Sometime shortly, and I don't mean like a week or two, but within a year, we'd like to have it open, processing our own meats, our own products. But I would take 200 to 300 pounds off every animal. 10 animals I slaughter, up to 10, and I'll take those poundage back to where I need to go. Today, with the plant open the way we want to open it, we slaughter the animal, the whole animal is ours. So that means if we got 1 million pounds, we may have anywhere from no less than 1,000 head, but up to maybe 1,500 head of cattle or more, maybe more. And in that, having that, and I think I'm counting wrong, but bottom line is no less than 1,000 to 1,500 head of cattle per week that we were slaughtering. So that means this. And we're walking whatever poundage we walk in today. Every head of cattle, the whole cattle is ours. That means we need another property as big as this property to do hides. And we got plenty of brothers and sisters that worked in hide tanning factories or taking the wool off the lamb and doing what it has to be with that, carding the wool, or taking from the goat, cashmere. So we want to create our own clothing, material for seats in the car, for wherever, whatever thing we're doing. If it's leather, you want belts, shoes, coats. I rode with leather suits when I drove the rode the motorcycles all the time. You know what I mean? I stayed in a leather suit. The reason was not to be just in leather, but if you slip, it protects you a little bit from the bruise. It ain't going to stop you from breaking none, but it'll stop you from burning your skin. Yeah. So that's one area. You open up another manufacturing plant that will deal with things that need to be sold in hospitals and places like that. When you get a chance, go to Google. I've said this before. Maybe somebody's on that didn't hear it. Go to Google and look up byproducts. For cattle, lamb, for goat, for all the poultry. Those are a business, a industry for us. So you start off, you just want 1 million pounds of meat, but you got all the rest of the stuff to come with. Their hoofs, everything. Everything from they used to say about the pig back in the day. People eat from the rooter to the tooter. So from front to back, that's what they're saying. So with the cattle, it's the same thing. Whether they're a young cow for a calf, they may call it, type of meat that is used for different things, or if it's a full-grown cow, which is pretty much the one that's used for everything, you know what I mean, the meat product, you know what I mean? They have organs that are also needed, whether it's medical or whether it's edible. A lot of things come out for the medical field. The bones are for sale. These things are products, but they're not only for sale. Another type plant that deal with bones. You find out everything that bones are used for, even the bone marrow. This animal, every part of it, we find out in the Quran. Some of it came out of the Bible as well for the people to see that we can shelter ourselves with hides. You know what I mean? There's just so many things that could be done, and Allah says it clearly. There's an industry that actually can produce so much for people. And then we got plenty of people like the cook, so we need to help people with that first piece that I said we would use with the money, that $1 million, break it up in five parts. That first piece was put people in business. Why shouldn't we in every 10, at least one in every 10 block square of our city have a restaurant that cooks halal food? I want to Google and see how much food is being sold in this country today. Billions of dollars a year. And that's our money. You got to feel like it's your money.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody coming from around the other side of the country, of the world, excuse me, and they opening up. And like I say, I have to say this. When I first started selling the meat in 95, I would go to every Muslim place that I knew of, as well as non-Muslim, because we had a good product. The Muslims, our brothers that were from overseas, they sold pork. Well, you can't sell my meat if you sell pork. Not a Muslim. That's one thing to put it in the supermarket. But a Muslim, I'm not going to sell him no meat. If he says, "Isn't your brother, the people, they eat pork, brother. We do what you sell." Yeah, you're a Muslim from overseas. You're going to come over and feed my people pork and think it's all right? In other words, we don't get distasteful enough or feel disregarded enough to even say something. As a people, we're going to go in and let you feed us something that God is telling you shouldn't eat? No, so we can't support that. We have to be clear. You doing what's wrong, we can't use that. Stop doing what's wrong, then maybe we'll talk. Another brother, he tells me up in Jersey, "Well, brother, you know, you can't sell meat here." I said, "What you mean I can't sell meat here?" I thought he meant it in his place. I said, "I'm not trying to sell. I'm trying to sell you the meat so you can sell it in your market." He said, no, I mean, you cannot sell. We went to Washington, and we talked to Washington. You know, he meant Washington, D.C., and we told him there are three brothers, two Egyptian, one Pakistani. The only three can approve halal meat being sold in America. I said, "So you're telling me I can't sell meat? I'm a Muslim. I slaughter my own animals. I process, have my meat processed. But I can't sell to my people in America?" "Oh, no, brother, you can't do it." I said, "I tell you what, you take what I got here as a gift for your children. Your children eat meat. I named all the meat products." "Yes." I said, "I know who you are in time. You'll find out who I am." And when I meant who I am, I didn't mean Wally or you, Bilal. I meant us as a people. We got to wake up. Everybody can come into America and sign off that they are child care. We go to their child care place. They feed us. No, man, we don't do that. We have to recognize we are Americans. And that's another thing. They come over and they teach us Islam from over there, and some of our brothers are so used to and sisters, so used to thinking other people's ice is colder than ours, they buy into the thought that they could tell us what to do, tell us where to eat, tell us when to eat. They ain't our nannies, and we ain't got no business at this age having no nannies. No, we have to trust that's right. We got them off of TV, right? They remind them, but we ain't never had nannies. Not like that. So here we are, 2023, learning that someone can take over our rights in America just by saying they are, like we ain't. No, we Muslims. So after that, a couple of inspectors, one brother from New York, one from Washington, came and wanted to check out my way of doing things. And the brother from Washington, he took the lead. He said, look, brother Imam, he said, I tell you, you put us to shame. We certify, but you show us the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, you know, and they wanted the slaughterhouse and processing plant, they wanted to offer me money. Let them use their money, and we make the product, and I'll get a dime. One would say, the slaughterhouse guy said a dime, and the processing plant, one of them said a quarter. I said, you going to give me a dime of my dollar? No, you can't do that. In other words, I can't be brought. What am I going to be brought for? If I just want a job, I'll go get a job. I'll go get the job I want. But you could take us into prisons. You can get us into prison with no, I'm not doing that. You're going to give me a dime. The whole dollar is mine. You're going to give me a quarter. The whole dollar is mine. We as a people got to know Allah has taken care. We just got to have the faith. We have to have the belief. We don't have to get second best.
No back
seat. We in the front. We ain't taking no best right, Nate. We ain't taking no back seat. We doing the driving. We hiring. We securing. We paying. We making profit. And we building. Did you look up one day the billions of dollars that's being made with halal products? We'll be making that. That's ours. And I don't mean take it. No, not like that. We do the same business. We sell to our people. Let us start echoing to our young. Stop this killing. In a minute, if they heighten it anymore, 20 years from now, we may not have no young people.
That's right.
In other words, there'll be a missing block there.
And missing generation.
Missing generation. Yeah, that's it. So we have to see that this work is on us. Just the halal industry? No. As I stated, we do this right. Those two things was easy. To help people get in business and build larger businesses to keep money through industry. Then there's the educational piece. We need our schools. So we have to fund that. Somebody can say, well, yeah, we can open up Masjid. We'll open up Masjid, but that ain't first. You can go to the Masjid you're going to. Let's get economically strong first. Let's have businesses in the South, the North, the West, the East, open up, popping up, being fair to the people. No, I don't want to just make money. Like I said, the day we had the discussion ending the sale of the property I got, same young man that was representing his mother-in-law with the lawyer offered me $5 million. I asked him, what am I going to do with it? It ain't money. Money is the liquid to keep everything flowing. But if it ain't growing, it ain't flowing. You just in one place, and we got millions of Muslims in this country, and a large percentage of that are African-American descendants of slaves, even though some of them want to reject the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Some of them want to reject Imam Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
And we even got some of our own that have been around
reject.
That want to reject. Mm-hmm. No, let's just build it. We ain't got time to worry about that.
Right.
Allah is manifesting everything. And Allah doesn't want us to worry about that. No, we're built. You got faith in me? Come together and build. The believers, come together and build. And those of us know, like I say, you know, God tells us, save yourself from the fire. Yeah, save yourself in the family. But he says, save yourself first. Self has always got to be in it. Me first, then my family, then my people, and their family. That's all one family. Then you go to the larger body, to humanity, and the people of humanity. But you got to start with yourself. And you got to know, you got to keep in front. We got to keep in front of us, how people think of us, whether we're Muslims, whether we're Christians, whatever. Allah's okay because it's supposed to build us to get closer. And we're the most forgiving people on earth. We'll forgive everything. We have already done it. Show it. We're earning. We want to earn Allah's gifts, his rewards in this life and the next life. I'm not at all looking at what this life offers without trying to get into the next life. Things that I've done wrong in my life, I pray Allah forgave me. I believe I'm forgiven. I will know when I stand before him like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm definitely working to do things. It ain't a personal peace that we're working for. We're working for ourselves, our family, the humanity, friends, and those that we don't know. And I would like to be personally, and I think most of us would, be a part of that mercy to humanity. And the best way to be a mercy to humanity is be an example, the example of a good. I'm saying this is what I'd like to do with the halal industry. I want to make money that will help us even put into the model community, purchasing something that we all can use. But I do know this. If it's in me, there's a bunch of us out there that will do the same thing. We just ain't acting like we want. We have to be one, not act, but we have to be one. And if we be one, the people will be ashamed themselves, looking at the fact that they are themselves not feeling the same way about humanity. Their degree. We look at a person, I forget his name, the other day. He gave to school graduates, I think that's who he gave it to, $1,000 apiece. He's wealthy. He can afford that. That's what we're supposed to do with wealth. Make it and share it. The man buys one of the social media things and spends, I think it was $40 million to fly out in the air. I pray he was feeding somebody. What difference does it make? You're going to spend $40 million going, we got $40 million, let's do what we're supposed to do. Help each other. And remember, the prophet says, we don't make beggars. Anyway, I'm not talking about let's help. You know, even when I was much younger, when I brought my family out of the property uptown or before, out of the dry cleaner, family dry cleaner, years ago. One of the things I always wanted to do was get a building sizable enough that people that are homeless can come in one door. They had to go straight through the building to eat. They come in one door. They had to take a shower, change clothes. We have a laundromat right in the building. Free of charge to them. They could eat more than one time a day, but before they eat, they have to have somebody talking to them, build up character. Then if they don't want to spend a night, or they do, they can. But their way out is the back door. They mean had they walk through every step, can't come in and get something and walk back out the same door. How do we help people? Wealth is good, but is we helping somebody? The model community may not put a dime in everybody's direction, but to look at it would make people say, I want to be like them.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they our race or another race. We're talking about the human race. And that's what Allah has gifted us with. He did it. We seen it as the nation. If we didn't have no proof, then that's one thing. We got proof. And I'm not talking about Minister Farrakhan, and I'm not talking about Minister Farrakhan's nation. As I told a few people that I talked to that come from that, I'm the nation of Islam. Not me alone, but I lived it when the man was living. Came out of Vietnam, 1969, and within a month, well, within 4 days, I was signing paperwork to join the nation. Mm-hmm. Within a month, I had my ass. You know what I mean? So I believe in what he put before us. There was no demand that we couldn't follow through with. He wasn't telling us to harm ourselves. He's telling us to love ourselves. Love your people.
Right.
So we got to get that back. We got to help others see that there's a way of doing other than what we see somehow happening today. Mm-hmm. I want us to own towers. What are towers? Towers is how you get radio, TV, things of that nature. Airways. We should be able to make open industrial buildings that can make phones, can make cars. Once you start making it, you can make everything. We can make everything. Would one of us own it? No. No, let's help put somebody in there that know what they're doing. But let's make sure our picture is how to bring to light our people in the role of the mercy to humanity. Just a picture of progress is a mercy. Just a picture. You can look at us and see where we were, where we're going by Allah's permission. That's what I'd like to see happening to us. There's no better way, in my opinion, than to do it in a way that helps all of us. If we do it properly, hey, we're talking about paradise. You know, telling what all we'll have. Let's take a break.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum, Nate Muhammad again. Join us every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an edition of the Halal Industry. Do for Self with your host, Imam Wale Ayubalak, president, founder, and CEO of Bilal's Inc., and co-hosts James Bashir and Nate Muhammad. The interest of Bilal's Inc. is to establish economics for the African-American people, descendants of slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength to establish community life by doing for self, to build the model community. Connect at am360.org and 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call in live to speak to the host at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253 and share comments at info@cwsc.us at cwshuraa. Email us at info@cwsc.us. Visit am360.org, parent corporation community-wide conference at cwsc.us or leave a listener comment at 910 317-0297. And thank you.
Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the Dynamic Islamic Faith Program, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to make it in the land of plenty is how we focus on the principles of El-Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
Yes, once again, assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Wali Ayub Bilal, the Halal Industry, Duke himself. And as always, we appreciate those who will hear this now, who will hear it later, those who are listening to it another, from another area, another social media way, such as Facebook or whatever. There's a number of ways that AM360 can be followed. But we are grateful to Allah that we have the opportunity to speak to whoever we can speak to. And speak on what we need to do as a people, that we have a calling upon us. We didn't just become slaves not to be noticed in the world one day. This is our calling. Our calling is that we were slaves for man, not voluntarily, but we realize we are slaves for Allah, for God, the Creator, voluntarily. We believe and have faith that the things that have come before us haven't hurt us. If anything, it's strengthened us. Do we want to lay down and let it happen again? No, we ain't supposed to. Once you find out who's the Creator, once you find out who's God, that's who our obligations are to. And this world, it kind of, if I use the term stink, I think we'd understand what I mean. It has took a downward turn across the world. You know, Putin doing what he do. Why? Because he's a leader. That's another reason why I believe, like I said, I'd be gone, because I remember seeing Al Capone movie when I was a youngster. And when I seen Al Capone get up, I invited all of his captains to eat at a table, big table in a big conference room. And he had a baseball bat. And he walked around, and one of his captains, he snuck him, I would say, and bust his head.
Yes, he did.
Killed him. So now, I could not have been one of the people in that room. Because if I found out my loyalty is to you, and that's how you would get rid of me if you think I did something wrong, I got to get rid of you before you get rid of me.
Well, that's how they were thinking. That's
what they thought. That was their mindset.
Yeah.
So I'm saying this here. I am to myself. I'm more than a survivor. I look at what Allah do. Allah gave me life. And in that, I'm supposed to do everything I can to live. So when I look at the life he gave us with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that was for us to live. And there are people that dislike him and don't know nothing about him. Oh, he ain't getting no Islam. Well, what did he get? When I first went to the temple, they wouldn't even let me sign up when they found out where I worked. Or where was I working at? I was in the military on my way to Vietnam. They said, oh, man, he went through it, and they said, you can't join. Why? Mr. Muhammad said, if you're in the military, you got to do one or two things. Quit, which you'll probably go to jail. Or continue the service, and when you get out, if you still want to come, then come. So my decision was I wasn't going to just quit the service, go to jail one way or the other. So I went on and finished my term. But I asked him, give me something to read. And I only thought he was going to give me a few pieces of paper, a flyer, like. And he pulled out Malena Muhammad Quran. So to the contrary thought that so many people say that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't give the Quran. That was late May or early June 1968, right before I went to Vietnam. I got a Quran. I brought the Quran from the temple. I brought the paper, when I say brought, How to Eat to Live and the Message to the Black Man. I had a Bible at the house. I took the Bible and I took a dictionary. And for the year that I was in Vietnam, I read the Quran, the Bible, How to Eat to Live, Message to the Black Man every day. Reading was my hobby back then. I read the Quran and the Bible, the two thickest books. Never paid attention to which one is the thickest as far as pages. I read them three times from cover to cover over the year. From cover to cover. I read the Message to the Black Man, How to Live, at least four times a month, because they were much thinner, the books themselves. Now, why am I saying I'm bragging on myself? No. I'm saying that people are saying he didn't give us Islam. How did I get the Quran? I got the Quran from the temple. I didn't get any other reading material other than How to Eat to Live, Message to the Black Man. But my main reading was focused on what was the Quran saying and what was different even with the Quran and the Bible. And I didn't find difference in them being alike, meaning when it spoke of what God said, those places that happened. I don't recall getting anything in the Bible that was contrary that said God said this, because God always spoke of his strength, his love, his protection, and a few other things that I picked up out of the Bible. But I'm saying, the point I'm making, too many people who say that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did have the Quran, because in the lessons, you learned the lessons, and if you succeeded in your class, your gift was supposed to be Quran Kareem or Quran Sharif. So can't nobody tell me he didn't leave me with the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that, too weak to stand up for that, they deserve what they get. And I don't mean somebody punishing them or something. If they fell away because they didn't feel like they had the right thing, then maybe their heart wasn't in it to find what was this about. Because the picture of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was constantly to give you a picture of the strength of God, the power of God. Yes, he used the term Allah. Yes, somebody say, well, he said, and he's coming in the person, Farad Muhammad's coming in the person of God, speaking. Maybe not the proper English, but I'm going to tell you what I got. He also said, I have pictures of Farad Muhammad. He said, when he returned, he didn't say when God returned. He said, when he returned, speaking of God, he won't look like him. That's enough to tell me he wasn't God and wasn't the picture we were supposed to be looking for.
Mm.
He also, my brother Jihad Sangari, would remind us of the lessons we had from the Bible, from the Quran, excuse me, that he said when we prayed, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that is, surely I turn myself to thee, O Allah, who created the heavens and earth. Farad Muhammad had a birthday. Anybody had a birthday can't be God.
Absolutely.
We don't have to go no further with that.
Right.
I got a birthday. I can't be no God. I got a death day coming.
Mm-hmm.
You can't kill God. You can't even fake and kill God. God, look, I want you to act like you killed me. You can't kill me, but I'm going to lay down. You can't do that with God. you can do that on TV, playing some kind of game. But it's just common sense. And what we have to do is live common sense. It's not common sense that the African-American descendant of slaves is satisfied with disunity with our young killing each other. We don't make guns. We don't make gunpowder. We don't own gun shops. But guns are in our neighborhood. White folks got them too, and they starting to kill each other even more.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Chinese or Orient or whatever, one of them, one group of them was out there killing each other about a month ago. Remember that? You remember that name? Yeah. Vietnamese, whichever one. Could have been Vietnamese.
Yeah.
So my point is, but we can't stop somebody else if we can't stop our own. We got to get to the bottom of it. Our unity is important. Our seeing ourselves. I don't care if we're Christian, Muslim, Jewish, or atheist. We got an obligation from God to serve him and live a great human life so we can get the great reward of the next life. All of us live on that. The atheist may say he's an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
Let somebody punch him in his mouth and see if he don't call on God. Oh, God. They normally don't nobody punch him just to prove it. But when pain come on them, they holler for God. You know what I mean? But our life have to be, we're building, and we have to know what we're building for. We're building for success. We're not building to lose. We're building for success. And if we do it in the proper manner, we'll find it in our life now, because Allah is not poor. He offers heaven now and later. And he says in the Quran, when they see it in the paradise, they'll say, this is like something I had before. Imam Muhammad reminded us of that. Matter of fact, most of the quotes we make, Imam Muhammad was the one reminded us of that. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us some quotes from the Quran. But basically, as he said in his last address, or one of his last addresses, that I taught you from the poison book. One after me will teach you from, or bring the word, bring you face to face with God. That's what he said. He'll pour the words of God in you. I was just cleaning up and emptying in the vessel of man, but he'll bring that to you. And that's what the Imam brought to us. He brought us a clear picture of the Quran. He did his job. So we have to see today is our job. We have the message. And, you know, we can't win if we don't get in the race. And we can't get in the race if we don't know who we are. So we ask each of you, read your Quran, live a good life, talk to your young, stay away from guns, raise our families. You know what I mean? I'm an older person, but I haven't stopped talking to my family. That's cousins and others. Raise your friends, if they don't see you, and let them raise you. But let us raise to the point that let's develop something. Let's take this offer that God has given us, Allah has given us, that we can remake the world. Imam Muhammad couldn't say it if Allah didn't allow him. Nobody find it hard to remake the world. And we can see how ugly it's getting. Like I said, I mentioned Russia. But look at all the rest of these leaders that want to all of a sudden take over the people around them because they're the head of the state or the head of the government or whatever. Power Trump. No, we have to show the people we came from the bottom. Coming from the bottom, Allah favored us. And what did he favor us with? A desire to serve him. Let's get to paradise now and get it later. It's easy for us. All we have to do is say we want to do it and do it. I'm going to pull off right now so that our brother coming on behind me can get his host time in, and I'll leave you with these PSAs. Assalamu alaikum. Allah willing, we'll talk and see each other next week, Wednesday, 5 to 7. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. CWSC, the Community Watch.
I hit too fast.
Yeah, I found that
too fast. Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother, Kareem Hali, inviting you to join in the study group of the lecture of Imam Warisuddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi. Broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. The first hour, I shall play a lecture or address from Imam Warisuddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi. And in the second hour, we shall open up the telephone line and share with each other the various beneficial points of interest contained in the lecture or address. So join the study group of the lectures of Imam Wahidin Muhammad Rahimahullah Aleyh on the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose every Saturday at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on American Muslim 360. Let's share. Thank you for helping us out.
You know, and you got to come. I mean, if we kick everything off, everything skipped the hook.
Yes, you better do it.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. CWSC, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, invites you to join us every Tuesday and Thursday from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. for CARE on Air. That's the Council on American Islamic Relations. Our American Muslim 360 host is Edward Ahmed Mitchell, attorney and deputy director. Edward Ahmed Mitchell is an attorney and former journalist who serves as the deputy director of the Council on American Islamic Relations, the largest Muslim civil rights and advocacy organization in the United States. Join us every Tuesday and Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Somebody 251 and somebody 914, and I forgot to say.
You forgot to call in.
Even though that ain't what going to do.
Having a ball, you're taking a fall. You're doing your thing all around.